And it is 1:32. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the state had seen an additional 97 cases of the coronavirus, bringing the total number of people who have ever tested positive in Arkansas to 3,665. And also yesterday, we heard the state had seen three additional deaths due to COVID-19, bringing the total number of deaths from the disease to 88. Today, the latest update from the health department shows that the number of deaths is unchanged today at 88, and the state has a total of 3,694 cases. And as is usually the case, we are expecting both of those, or perhaps one of those numbers, to rise in today's daily briefing from Governor Asa Hutchinson. And now we go live to the governor's conference room at the state capitol. This is KYR 89.1.
See my new mask today. It's an Arkansas State Police mask. We appreciate the work of the Arkansas State Police and wanted to have that and wear that today. Thank you for joining us today for the daily COVID-19 update. There is a lot of business to cover today that's important to the direction that we're going. And of course, I'm delighted to have this new backdrop and logo that says Arkansas Ready for Business, ArkansasReady.com. And we have Chairman Stuart Walton that's going to elaborate on that here shortly. Glad to be joined by Secretary of Health, Dr. Nate Smith, as usual. Chancellor Cam Patterson will be joining us and talk about a number of things from UAMS perspective. And then Secretary Stacy Hurst, who's been very active in the Economic Recovery Task Force and has been a tremendous leader in and partner in this. First, I wanted to thank the Arkansas General Assembly and the Legislative Council today for their quick action and approval of the Arkansas Ready for Business grant programs up to $147 million. And so this was will be a welcome opportunity for Arkansas small businesses that took advantage of that grant program and applied for it. They also approved the Department of Human Services request for the payments that will go to the COVID direct care workers in the hospital environment and some of the indirect workers as well. So I applaud the General Assembly and thank them for their partnership and leadership that will help us to get this money into our economy, to the businesses that need it. It'll be a welcome relief to many of the small businesses across Arkansas. In terms of the case update, yesterday we had 3,665 cases. We have today an additional 82 cases in Arkansas. That brings the total to 3,747. In terms of hospitalizations, the hospitalizations have declined from 70 down to 64, so that's six fewer. The deaths, 88, remain the same. The last 24 hours, we have tested 2,355 tests in Arkansas, which is another excellent result for the last 24-hour period. With that, let's go to the charts. There'll be a number of these, and we'll go through these quickly. What we always have is the number of new COVID cases. And as you can see, the number today is about 80, down from the 90 plus that we had yesterday. And then if you go to the next slide, you'll see the 7-day rolling average that gives you a picture of our trends. And you see that we reached the peak. We are on a downward slide and we're a little bit of a plateau now. We hope that we'll go back down again, but this is typical for where we are in our recovery period. If you go to the next slide, this is the number of hospitalized patients in Arkansas. That reflects the downward trend there at 70. And this is really a good sign when the hospitalizations go down, because that means they're recovering. If they don't go up, then our deaths are going to decline as well. So very pleased with that. The next slide, is the number of active COVID cases in Arkansas. And again, this was a request of from this conference the other day. And I showed this in Texarkana, but want to show it again today. And these are the number of cases. It's always going to be increasing. As you test more, there's going to be more cases, minus those that have recovered. And that leaves you with the active cases in Arkansas. And you can see that that number continues to decline. And so the next slide, these are the positive test by date of result. And so you can see here that the positive test results reached like 30%, you know, early on, but then they've declined where that our positive test result has been getting lower and lower, where it's under 5% in all of the last number of days. And then that leads me to the next slide, which is the number of COVID tests by date of test result. And this is the different testing facilities that we have, which is the red is the commercial labs, the white is the Department of Health, and the orange is UAMS, all contributing to the number of tests that we do in Arkansas. And ever since we had the two-day surge campaign, we've been up steadily since then. I mean, up and down, but the demand has remained steady, and we've been able to increase our testing. And then this is one, let me just tell you, this is from the COVID tracking project. So this is not from our people here at the Department of Health. We got simply on the outside media, and it's a COVID tracking project though, and it cites actually the World Health Organization recommends lower than 10% in terms of positivity percentage. All the tests that we do, what's your positivity rate? And again, this goes state by state. So you've got, I think it's Michigan, New York, Connecticut, DC, Delaware, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, all different states there. And you see where Arkansas is on the yellow, which is at a 6%, which has gone down since that time. And you can see the other states, it might be a little bit lower, but that shows that in relation to the other states and the recommendations, our positivity rate is low and on target. And I think that concludes those. Let me make a comment, and I think we got one more slide there. And as you know, that 2 days ago, I challenged the Department of Health to continue to increase our testing in Arkansas. And we challenged them, and I said, how many tests do you think that we could do in the month of May? And their response was that if we work hard and develop it, we could do 60,000 tests. I asked for a plan to accomplish that, and that is, of course, 2% of our population in 1 month that we would do in Arkansas. And so I'm grateful to Dr. Smith and his team for presenting some ideas as how we can expand testing in Arkansas, and it includes a number of new items. One of them will be utilizing our Department of Health local health units. We have 70 active local health units across Arkansas, and this will allow us to target areas of increased cases, and that alone could bring us a potentially 14,000 new cases during the course of the month. Secondly, we have provided guidance that expectant moms in delivery will be required to have a test. That could bring us 1,500 new tests over the course of the month. The pre-surgical testing that we're doing and expanding will be increased testing results for us. We have Abbott point of care machines across the state that have not had the adequate kits within it, so that in the reagents, so it could do testing. We've acquired that. We expect that to bring in additional testing results. And then another new item that we're going to utilize the Arkansas Department of Health Minority Health Commission and their mobile lab to go into other areas of the state minority areas of the state, and to add and expand our testing in those areas. We expect at least 400 tests as a result of that, and then we'll have the base activity that we've had before, the commercial labs, UAMS, the Department of Health Central Labs, that will allow us to reach the goal that I've set of 60,000 tests during the month of May. And of course, this depends upon people who have the symptoms going in and getting their test, and it should be a much smoother process during this month. And let me see what the next slide is. I did want to make an announcement in reference to recreational pools. These are pools, splash pads, water parks, and swim beaches. And this has been a challenge for the Department of Health to make sure that we have the right guidelines set for them, but they've worked. They realize the need there. And so effective May 22, they will be these pools, splash pads, water parks, swim beaches will be open, allowed to open in Arkansas with these requirements. No entry if there's a fever or symptoms or contact with a positive patient. In other words, they'll be screened. And here's the key, is that there's 50% capacity. We're not going to open it up to 100% capacity. It's got to be limited in terms of the people swimming in those pools. It's got to be 50% capacity with 6-foot physical distancing in all areas. They're going to have to be entrance controls to avoid the crowds, markings to note distancing at slides, disinfectants. The tables have to be moved 6 feet apart. The chemistry has to be tested. Lifeguard training is important because the lifeguard is there to save lives, but in this instance, we also want them to monitor the capacity to make sure that the health guidelines are being met, and so there'll be some additional training for those. So that should be welcome news before we go into Memorial Day, that we'll have that open, at least with those limited restrictions. And so that's a lot of news, a lot of coverage. And with that, let me recognize Dr. Nate Smith for his comments, and then we'll go from there.
This is Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor, and I think that's welcome news to a lot of folks who like to swim. I'm going to give a little bit more detail on our numbers and then discuss an additional item. As the governor has mentioned, we've had 82 new cases since yesterday. 12 of them were in corrections, correctional facilities, so we have 70 that we classify as community. We don't have any new counties. Of our total 3,747 total cases cumulative, 691 of those we consider active. Of those, 131 are in correctional facilities, 89 are in nursing homes, so we have 471 active cases in the community. The governor's already mentioned that we have 64 currently hospitalized. That's a net decrease of 6 from yesterday. We have 14 on a ventilator. That's no change from yesterday. We have 88 deaths total, which is no change from yesterday. We have 2,968 who have recovered. That's 101 increase from yesterday. Brief update on the nursing homes. We have currently 48 nursing homes where we have at least one resident or worker who has tested positive. We have 270 residents who have tested positive. That's an increase of 4 from yesterday. And we have 160 staff. That's an increase of 5 from yesterday. In terms of our correctional facilities, we have at the Cummins unit, we have 896 who have tested positive. That's an increase of 10 from yesterday. And then we have among the Cummins staff, 60 who have tested positive. That's an increase of 6 from yesterday. We don't have any new information on the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City yet, but that should be coming in the next few days. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the testing. The governor has mentioned that we did have 2,355 results reported, resulted yesterday, and that is our second day in a row that we've had over 2,000. Our positivity rate for yesterday was 2.1%. Our overall positivity rate is 5.8%. Of those tests that we received yesterday, 1,925 were from the commercial labs, 244 from the Department of Health Public Health Lab, and 186 from the UAMS lab. The last thing I'd like to mention is that on Monday, we will be going to the next stage of elective surgeries. And previously, up till now, we've limited the hospital surgical centers to day surgery. And now we will allow overnight surgeries up to 48 hours expected after the procedure. And we have previously limited those cases to American Society of Anesthesia, ASA, category 1 and 2. Now we will allow 1, 2, and 3. So we will allow patients who have more complications or more health issues to also undergo elective surgical procedures. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And let me invite Chancellor Patterson to come and talk from his perspective on the issue of testing, but also the a second phase on the elective surgery.
This is Dr. Cam Patterson, Chancellor of UAMS.
Thank you very much, Governor Hutchinson. We appreciate the work that the Arkansas Department of Health has done in coordinating testing across the state. UAMS has played a substantial role in that, and to date, UAMS has done over 6,000 COVID-19 PCR tests, which is approximately 10% of the total number of tests that have been done across the state, and we anticipate that our overall contribution to testing across the state will remain consistent. And I would say our overall positivity rate for tests done at UAMS mirrors what we're seeing across the state, substantially below 10% positivity test rates. In addition to the tests that are collected here in Central Arkansas, our mobile unit continues to cross the state to provide access to clinical testing for COVID-19 in areas where resources are lacking to make those tests readily available. This past week, we did testing in Warren and in Southwest Little Rock. In the coming week, starting on Saturday, we'll be back in Forest City for the fourth time. We'll also be in Dumas near the Cummins facility, in Brinkley, and in Hot Springs. We've done in our mobile units about 1,200 COVID tests since we initiated this project. And overall, the results for the most part have been consistent and generally very reassuring. That we are seeing low single-digit positivity rates fairly consistently in the communities that that we are visiting. And that's good news for these communities. It indicates that we don't have hot spots in these communities that we are visiting. And it's unlikely that we are missing substantial populations where there are groups of positive patients. Now, the one exception to this is Forest City. And again, Forest City is, as everyone knows, adjacent to the Federal Corrections Institute. And the reason why we are going back to Forest City for the fourth time is that the first time that we visited Forest City, which is right at the time of the outbreak, there was one positive case in the community. The second time we visited, there were six positive cases in the community. The third time we visited, there were nine positive cases that we new positive cases that we identified in the community. So on Saturday, we're going actually in collaboration with the Department of Health, who will be testing people who work or related to people who work in the facility, and UAMS will be doing general community screening. So we'll get a much better sense of the progression of COVID-19 infectivity within that community. And I want to thank Mayor Cedric Williams, who's been a great partner in making sure that we have the community resources that we need to make this testing occur. Governor Hutchinson and Dr. Smith both mentioned that the inpatient burden of COVID-19 has decreased substantially in our state. And we are seeing that at UAMS as well, that the number of inpatients that we have with COVID-19 has been in the high teens, frequently over 20. At the present time, UAMS only has 7 COVID-19 patients in-house and 3 presumptive cases and only 1 patient who's currently on a ventilator. So as this decrease in the inpatient burden that all of the hospitals across the state are experiencing, I think that the escalation in the clinical work that we can now do in terms of elective procedures is being done at, I think, an opportune moment. We, as we at UAMS, as most of the hospitals in the state, are putting safety first as we think about how we get back in the business of doing the pent-up demand for elective procedures that exist within the state. All of the patients who are getting elective procedures performed on them will be screened at UAMS. We screen everyone who's coming in to give birth. And starting this weekend at UAMS, we'll actually be screening every patient who gets admitted to our inpatient services for any reason. And the rationale for doing this is simply the rationale of safety, making sure that we protect our frontline caregivers, also making sure that we protect our patients and our patients' families. The hospitals that will be adding new elective procedures in compliance with guidelines from the Department of Health will all be doing this in a very careful way. So while the procedures themselves will be procedures that we've always done, the patient and family experience will be different, and that's for one reason only, and that's to make sure that we maintain the safety of our Kansans who are coming into hospitals to have work done. And we're all very mindful of this. And lastly, I want to thank on behalf of all of the healthcare providers in the state of Arkansas, I want the opportunity to say thank you for the support that we've gotten from the communities, from individuals, from businesses who have provided us with food for our caregivers, with protective equipment and masks, and remarkable shows of support, including flyovers. And I know that this weekend we'll have another flyover of vintage World War II aircraft over the skies of Little Rock, so be on the lookout for that in the middle of the day tomorrow. And I want to thank Stuart Walton for being the lead pilot in that effort. Governor Hutchinson, thank you.
Thank you, Cam. And let me emphasize to everyone that we focus a lot on the phased lifting of restrictions because of the health concerns and because we want to make sure we keep a handle on any new spreads of COVID-19. But it's so critical that we keep our focus also on being able to re-energize our economy, make sure that people have opportunity to work and make a living. And so that's a balance we're having to achieve. And the Economic Recovery Task Force, led by Stuart Walton, chaired one of the committees by Secretary Hurst, has been very, very instrumental in this. It's been very smooth between the health side and our economic recovery side. And as Cam pointed out, Stuart is not only a good businessman, but he's also a pilot. And I trust he's a good pilot because he's going to be flying some very historic planes tomorrow to recognize our healthcare workers. Stuart, why don't you come? You've got an exciting announcement to make.
This is Stuart Walton, chairman of the governor's Economic Recovery Task Force.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon. It does seem like a good Friday of sorts across the board. The news from Dr. Smith, from Cam, the governor has been surprising, well, maybe not surprisingly, but actually overall quite positive. And we'd just like to add to that with a couple of points. First and foremost, we are launching, actually we launched this morning, the Arkansas Ready for Business website. You can find it at arkansasready.com. And you can also find it under the social media handles, Arkansas Ready. This website is going to provide both industry-specific and institution-specific information to help us reopen the economy in a safe way. We see it as a comprehensive resource for both businesses, customers, managers, owners of enterprises across Arkansas where they can go get actual factual information about what they're going to need to do. There's sources for PPE where they can go and source that, and there's general information for customers as well there. I really want to recognize Secretary Stacy Hurst and her leadership for developing this resource, and as the chairman of the task force, I can promise you that we will keep it updated and that we will continue to improve this resource for the state. I also want to remind folks that we still are in phase one, despite all the good news, although I'd say we're maybe out of line here, but we seem to be on our way towards phase two. But it's super important that we continue to socially distance or wear masks, source control when we can't. And the task force really does encourage folks to take a look at these regulations, try and understand them, and really sort of abide by them to the best of our abilities. Finally, I want to just mention the flyover tomorrow. The task force is sort of organizing this, both to launch the website, but actually, as Dr. Patterson said, it's really to recognize and honor those frontline medical workers and first responders across the state. That's the route that we're going to fly right here. You can see a number of different towns, but all of those towns will be doing multiple circles over, and we'll do some flyovers over smaller towns along the way. We're really excited about it. It looks like a great day for the weather. And this is what we're calling it. We're calling it the Unite Arkansas Fly Around. And it's really to bring the state together. Everybody knows that we have to work in formation almost as a state, trust each other, appreciate each other, and cooperate with each other in order to get through this crisis. That's what this flyover is trying to bring awareness to. And hopefully we'll see most of you guys tomorrow from the air. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stuart. With that, we're glad to take any questions. Yes.
All right,
if you could just wait for a second remotely, we have one question at the table, then we'll go to you remotely.
My question is about the restriction on museums, like the Momentary, that are only allowed to have 50 people. There's been some talk from museum people saying their museums are big. Why are casinos allowed to have a third occupancy when museums are
either tomorrow or Monday, you will see an adjustment to that. We recognize some inequity there. Dr. Smith and his team is looking at that, and so expect to see some adjustments that we'll announce either Saturday or Monday. And now let's go remotely to the question.
Thank you, Governor. This is Erica Thomas with 5 News in Northwest Arkansas. We have heard today that OC has what are your thoughts about healthcare workers losing their jobs as they're being held in their own? And are there any plans to help hospitals and specifically those individual healthcare workers cope with the financial and economic stress of the pandemic?
Well, this is the extraordinarily unusual aspect of the pandemic, that while the healthcare system has been stressed because we have not been having elective surgery, there's been an absence of revenue generating work in many of the hospitals across Arkansas. And so that is a very difficult circumstance that we hope can be remedied very quickly, because as the elective surgeries are increasing, we would hope that these healthcare workers would be brought back into work very quickly, and that the demand is there, that they will be able to return to work, and we'll be doing more business as usual in the coming weeks. So hopefully any layoffs will be very short term in length. Secondly, in terms of the financial support for the hospitals, through CARES Act funding, there's been direct payments to many of the hospitals across Arkansas that should be providing some immediate relief. If there's any additional resources that are needed, we'll take that as needed toward our CARES Act steering group. to see if there's additional needs that need to be met.
Does Dr. Smith have any information about the guidance to casinos? And I also kind of wondered, when you initially closed the casinos, the concern was that they were being closed in Mississippi and Louisiana. What's changed?
Well, I'm not. We've made independent decisions in terms of our casinos here, and Mississippi. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm not sure what Oklahoma has done. So we're looking at it from where we are in terms of our cases and what decisions we should make and what restrictions we should put on there. And then I'll let Dr. Smith answer.
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you for the questions about our new directive concerning reopening casinos. That should go on the website today if it's not already been posted. It's a little bit different than some of the other directives because it requires that each casino develop a comprehensive reopening plan that is approved by the Arkansas Department of Health. So if they have a plan that's approved, they will be able to reopen under the fairly stringent requirements that we've placed on May 18th.
It's kind of like they're doing in other states? I mean, what are they battered at? Or is it just an Arkansas plan?
Well, this is the directive that we have is an Arkansas directive. They're reopening.
Based on best practices other states, or I'm just trying to.
Well, their reopening plans are based on industry best practices, and we'll be looking at those plans very closely.
Let's stay at the table here. Yes.
There's been some reports about the CDC came up with their own guidelines for reopening different kinds of businesses. I was just wondering, when you're making your guidelines for Arkansas, did you consult those, or do you think those are something that would be useful?
I think they're very useful, and so the CDC guidelines are one factor that is weighed by the Department of Health. As we develop our unique guidelines here in Arkansas, and so we certainly do look at those. Let's go remotely for a question.
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Want to ask about that Travis McCready concert that's planned at the venue, the Temple Live venue in Fort Smith on May 15th. Want to ask you or Dr. Smith, I guess, given the fact that it looks like this would be defying the restrictions has and the date the state has for large venues, is the state taking any steps to halt this concert from going forward?
I was not even aware of this until I was asked by a national publication about this concert. When we looked into it, we determined that they were really trying to make a very stringent effort to try to socially distance, to wear masks. And so they were trying to do it in a way that has some bearing on the guidelines we provide. The first difficulty is 3 days ahead of what we directed as the date of opening for those type of venues. So Dr. Smith and his team is working, talking to them, seeing to make sure that we're going to have the right procedures in place that will protect everybody, and it's unknown as to whether that will proceed or not. Dr. Smith, do you want to add to that?
And again, Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Yes, we've been working with them, and their attorney has reached out, and our general counsel is talking with them about that, but it will not proceed unless it is in compliance with either our guidance or we have assurances that it will be done in a way that is safe and minimizes the risk of spread of COVID-19.
Do you think that sets a bad precedent going forward, though? If somebody can, in essence, jump the gun?
That is a concern. Certainly it is. You know, a lot depends upon whether they act in good faith, you know, whether they're flagrantly disregarding the public health guidelines or whether there was simply an error in the scheduling that led to that. And so the most important thing is we want to make sure that the public health is protected. Secondly, before it can ever proceed, we want to make sure that happens. And so those are still in discussions, and we'll see what the outcome is.
Governor, this is THV-11.
All right, THV-11, go ahead, and then we'll come back to the table.
Thank you, sir. I have a question for both you and Dr. Smith. We have three people positive right now in the Little Rock School District employees. I was wondering from Dr. Smith, how difficult is it to balance the privacy in these situations for those people when there are so many people who feel like they have a right to know what's going on in something like a school district?
And again, Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Certainly, that's a very good question. I can answer it generally. Of course, we try and respect people's privacy as much as possible. When there is a compelling public health need for others to know, then we have exemptions to HIPAA for public health, but we don't take that lightly. We would only reveal information on a need-to-know basis. In most cases, in a communicable disease outbreak, we do contact tracing, where we track down the individuals and we have those conversations one-to-one with them and do everything we can to protect the privacy of all individuals. There are some cases where that's not possible and it's necessary to put out information publicly, but we're not here as an Arkansas Department of Health to satisfy people's curiosity. We're here to protect the public's health, and we will protect private health information for everyone as much as we can, and when that's not possible and still protect the public's health, then we do have exemptions from HIPAA for public health.
Let's come back to the table here. Yes, Jay.
Is there an update on the PUA funds and when people can expect those to start getting processed and paid out?
First of all, the website for the PUA applications is alive. Thousands are participating in that and putting their information online. In terms of the time frame where checks are actually issued, I know that they're going to work very hard to process those as quickly as possible because all the funds are available for that. It's ready to go. I can't give you a specific timeline as to when the first check is going to be issued. But everyone there at both Department of Finance and Commerce understand the importance of this, and they're working very hard to get those checks out. Yes?
What's the significance of the 2% of the population benchmark?
You know, it's one of those numbers that has been put out there magically as to a goal that's been set. Dr. Smith, do you know where that came from?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
That is guidance from the CDC. Exactly how they came up with the 2%, I can't speak for them. It's certainly a good target for us. Eventually, we'd like to be able to do very widespread testing. I think Chancellor Patterson's comment about testing all those who are admitted to the hospital, well, that's a way that helps to assure his staff as well as other patients that that it's as safe as possible. It's not 100% perfect, but it's a good way. And we'd like to see testing continue to roll out to where we know who's positive, who's negative, who's exposed, who's not exposed, because that's the best way for us to control this outbreak. Again, it's not so much the numbers, it's how we use our testing capacity that's important. What we want to do is identify those who are infected. We want to stop the spread of COVID-19, and ultimately we want to save lives.
Dr. Smith, can you elaborate a little more on what some of that guidance will be for casinos?
The guidance for casinos, probably better just to refer you to the website when it comes up. It's really, the directive is fairly short and brief, and it's similar to what we have for our large indoor venues. the meat of it is that they have to submit a more detailed plan that is specific to their facility, and that will be reviewed by the Arkansas Department of Health, and then if it's satisfactory, we'll approve it.
Let me add that as we indicated yesterday in Texarkana, when I made the announcement that one of the criteria is that it's one-third occupancy. And so that's probably the most significant limitation in phase one, that we have that limited occupancy, the social distancing requirements. Those are some of the essence, as Dr. Smith said. It will have to be specific to each different casino and environment that they have. Let's take a question remotely, and we'll come back to the table. One remotely.
This is Jamie Weiss with 4029 News. Following up on the news from the Mercy Hospital system about furloughs and layoffs, do you anticipate that the CARES Act Steering Committee will need to direct more funds towards healthcare workers going forward rather than small businesses?
Yes, actually that was approved today by the General Assembly as well. So at the request of DHS, we had this initiative to pay a bonus payments for the healthcare workers in the hospitals. So that funding has been approved now by the General Assembly. And so as soon as those checks can go, then they will be processed. We want to get it into those healthcare workers in the hospitals as quickly as possible. Back to the table.
Can follow up on that? Are furloughed employees eligible to get those payments?
I'm sorry, what? You said what?
Furloughed employees able to cash in on those benefits?
The question is, are furloughed employees able to get those benefits? And probably need to check for sure, but it's my understanding that the payments go back to a particular time period, and so they're retroactive. And so if they worked in that environment before they were furloughed, I would certainly think that they would be entitled to that. Cam, do you, Dr. Patterson?
This is Dr. Cam Patterson, Chancellor of UAMS.
Yes, all the hospital CEOs have been in discussions about this, and the importance is for us to abide by the intentions of the Arkansas legislature. And if there are employees whose percent effort has been reduced or employees who have been furloughed, the intention is still to make sure that that money gets in their hands, because that's who it's intended for.
All right, back to the table here. Yes, ma'am.
Are there any protections for employees or employers if they get the virus on the job as businesses open up back up?
All right, so the question is any protections for employees on the job if they get COVID-19? And the answer is that they would be covered by workers' compensation if there's a causal connection between their employment and their contraction of the virus. And so that's, I've talked to the head of the Workers' Comp Commission and sort of reviewed that with him. And that's our consensus, and that's what I understand the law allows. And it is important that if the worker goes back in an environment and because of that employment, they contract COVID-19, then they ought to have a remedy because of that work-related injury and compensated under workers' comp laws. Yes?
Related to that, on the pandemic unemployment assistance for the self-employed or business owner. If, let's say it's a hairdresser who, now they're allowed to go back, but they still don't feel comfortable or they're not set up to be able to do that, would they still be eligible for that pandemic assistance?
If they're off and they're not allowed to go back?
Well, if they are allowed to go back, but they just don't want to.
Oh. I've got to think that through for a second. If you have, whether it's a self-employed person that could be in a contractual relationship at a salon, or if you have an employee in some other business enterprise and they're called to go back to work, And one, that's exactly what they should do. We want people to work. We don't want them to be on unemployment when they have an opportunity to work, and that's what our Kansans want to do. And so that is, one, the rules of unemployment compensation, but it's also what our Kansans need and want to do. We want people to work. Now, if there is a nervousness about the environment in the place of employment that might make them hesitant to go back to work, then you know, I think that's a discussion they ought to have with the employer. I think that's an area that's unresolved in the law right now as to how that impacts their unemployment, that impacts you know, their relationship with their employer, actually. And so that's a area that's unique in this COVID-19 environment. From my perspective, one, the employer needs to do the right thing and have a healthy workplace. Secondly, there's so many essential industries. We need the workers to be there, and the remedy would be the workers' compensation if they would contract COVID-19. That is the remedy, and it's really not much different than you know, a worker who works on an assembly line but is worried about the assembly line breaking up and them getting injured. Well, the answer is you can't fail to show up to work. You need to go to work, but the remedy is workers' comp insurance, and to me it works in a very similar fashion. Yes?
Talking earlier about outdoor venues, I wonder if you expand on that as it relates to college sports and how far you think we really are from seeing them play, and I guess that also means students returning to campus, and are there specific benchmarks you want to look for before allowing all of that to happen?
Great question, and of course, Stewart's task force is looking at college athletics as well as summer team sports, and so we're waiting on some of those recommendations and ideas that come from them. But there's a lot of different facets to the college sports. They got to work with the other conference teams that they might be associated with. They have to work together, but it's also a relationship with the state and what our public health officials say. And from our perspective, we're taking this a step at a time. We're not prepared to announce today what's going to happen in the fall, but I am delighted that the universities are planning on going back to class. They're active in making their plans for team sports next year, and we hope that we get exactly there, and I'm optimistic that we will. That's what we need to be planning toward. But we're also going to be evaluating it in late May. We'll evaluate some of this in June, and we'll know a little bit more closely where we are. We know that for collegiate athletics, for example, in football, they need to start August 1 in practice. They're doing individual conditioning now, which they can do under the regulations that we've put out. They follow those guidelines, but the team activity, we need to make an announcement probably in July in terms of what we believe should be happening in August. So we're not there yet, but I'm optimistic that's exactly where we want to be. And if we all do the right thing and say if we keep these numbers going the right direction, you're going to see collegiate athletics next year as well as high school sports. And let me guarantee you that I'm pulling for that outcome.
Housekeeping things. How much is left out of that $1.25 billion from the CARES Act? And then also, what's sort of our starting date when it comes to that 14-day period for phase one?
Well, the 14-day period would have started when we entered phase one, which was May 4th. And so in the most optimum picture, you know, it would be May 18th that we look at the numbers and see where we are for a phase two operation. What was the other part of your question? And this is round numbers, but we have at least, I believe it's 2/3 of the funding left that we haven't touched or obligated in any way in round numbers. And let's just take a couple more questions here, because one right here, then we'll go remotely.
I have a question for Dr. Smith. The numbers at nursing homes and congregate settings like plants, I imagine, and the prisons, they keep going up. Is it Is that a function of a lack of PPE, or is it simply not possible to contain infection in those settings?
This is Health Secretary Nate Smith.
Well, I think all those settings have done a really good job of containing infections because we've had a very limited number of large outbreaks. With the nursing homes, for example, and also with the prisons, you have people coming from the community into the facility, and that's always an opportunity to introduce COVID-19 into that setting. I think we've done fairly well in terms of those, particularly the nursing homes, the long-term care facilities, compared to other states. We've done a very good job of containing those, even in our prison system, we've had one large outbreak in our state prison, but we've not. It could have been a lot worse. Let me put it that way. But no, I don't think there's an overall failure in our PPE.
Is there somebody who has not asked a question remotely that would like to ask a question?
Yes, sir. This is Drew Smith with the Tax Record Enforcement. I have a question for Dr. Smith.
All right.
Several states around the country. Yes, sir. Several states around the country have expressed concern about not having enough contact tracers. Do you think that Arkansas has enough contact tracers, or do you have plans to increase that number?
Yes, the question was about contact tracers. Yes, we would like to expand. We have over 200 people currently, and we would like to expand those. We have a goal of 350. It's not just the number of warm bodies, though. It's making sure we have the right people with the right training, with the right equipment, including digital solutions, technology that they need. And then it also includes information systems to where all the data that are being generated are converted into actionable information in a timely fashion. So it's not just about numbers in terms of people, but we are working to increase not only the numbers, but also the level of the people. We've got some excellent people who are doing our contact tracing now, but we would like to add to that and continue to expand.
Thank you, and with that we can conclude, but I just want to add, I appreciate the professionalism of all the journalists that are in this room, as well as that's online, as to how we conduct this and how you conduct yourself, and I just want to express that appreciation. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of what we heard in today's briefing. The state has a total of 3,747 positive test results that have ever been received for the coronavirus. That is an increase of 82 additional cases since yesterday. The number of deaths has remained the same at 88 since yesterday. And the number of people currently hospitalized with COVID-19 is at 64. That is a decrease from 70 people who were hospitalized yesterday. And we heard a number of announcements from Governor Asa Hutchinson and state health officials. First of all, we have the latest restriction that is being lifted. A number of restrictions, of course, were instituted in Arkansas because of the COVID-19 pandemic. This week alone, we have seen a number of them lifted. We've seen a return to barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, places of worship, things like that. Next week, next Monday, restaurants can begin limited dine-in service. The latest announcement from Governor Hutchinson is that swimming pools can reopen on May 22nd, and that covers swimming pools, splash pads, other related things like that. Pools can reopen on May 22nd. They can open at 50% capacity. Of course, other restrictions there, social distancing, 6 feet distance required at all times between people going to the pool, screening for all patrons, things like that, as we have also seen with other restrictions that have been lifted in a limited fashion here in Arkansas. We also heard the state legislature gave approval to two programs for incentives for businesses and specific workers that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. The first of which is the Arkansas Ready for Business program. That is a series of grants to small businesses, mainly designed to pay for one-time expenses specifically related to the coronavirus pandemic, specifically related to what they need to do in order to reopen as these restrictions are being lifted, pay for things like cleaning, personal protective equipment, things like that. Originally, when that was announced, I believe last week, which was, as we know, it was a premature rollout of that program, that was originally only supposed to be $15 million to go for grants to small businesses. We heard today the legislature approved $147 million to go to that Arkansas Ready for Business grant program, and that application is online at this moment. We also heard the legislature gave their approval to payments for hospital direct care workers, non-physician direct care workers like nurses, respiratory therapists, things like that. The legislature previously approved payments, or I actually believe it was the federal government approved payments for direct care workers at nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. Now today we're hearing the legislature has approved payments for direct care workers at hospitals, as well as some indirect workers in the healthcare industry, also at nursing homes, hospitals, long-term care facilities. There is no timeline as of yet as to when workers will see those payments. Those will be in the form of bonuses added to paychecks. But we heard again today that the legislature has given their approval to that. So theoretically, those payments can start going out as soon as that system is in place. We also heard another rollback of restrictions. The restriction on elective surgeries in Arkansas, we saw, I believe it was, I think last week when we rolled back the restriction completely banning elective surgeries in the states. That was previously rolled back to allow for ambulatory surgeries, same-day surgeries that do not require a stay in the hospital. Of course, that still comes with restrictions. People need to get tested for the coronavirus within 48 hours of their procedure. But we heard today that the state will move on to the second phase of its lifting of restrictions on elective surgeries, allowing for people to get surgeries that require a stay in the hospital of up to 48 hours. And of course, those previous restrictions on elective surgeries, including that testing requirement, are still in effect for that. But the scope of procedures allowed under the restrictions being extended a little bit today. We also heard that Governor Asa Hutchinson will be adjusting the rules for museums. That comes after the rules for casinos were released, I believe it was yesterday, allowing for casinos to run at a third capacity. Museums were currently limited at 50 people at a time, so Governor Hutchinson saying that we will see a new announcement about that, new guidelines coming from the State Health Department either over the weekend or by early next week. Again, you've been listening to live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR. And just one more recap, 3,747 total cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow and next week with more live coverage. This is KUAR News.